Welcome to a recording of Titusville Free Methodist Church, a community planted in the forgiveness, freedom, and fullness of Jesus Christ. We thank you for your interest and pray that you are blessed as you listen to this relevant word.
I wish I'd spent more time at work.
I wish I'd gotten more sleep.
I miss watching a lot of great football games.
I never got to spend enough time on Facebook.
I wish the walls weren't so scratched up. I never really got to drive a cool car.
I wish that planter in the backyard didn't wobble.
I wish the house had been cleaner.
I never had enough time to work on my fantasy sports teams.
I wish I'd had more money for myself.
I wish we'd slept in more on Sunday.
I wish we had had more time for ourselves.
All right. Good morning, everyone. Really good to see you today. Regrets you'll never have. Did you get that? Oh. You got to watch to the end. Regrets you'll never have. These are regrets you'll never have. So, I guess I better talk into my microphone. My favorite one there was, I wish I had more time to spend on my fantasy baseball team. You know why? Because my real baseball team stinks. They just stink, and I don't know what to do about it. All right, so all of those people that you saw there were parents who had made an active commitment to giving the blessing. So we've been talking about the blessing for, this is the fifth week now, and we're going to be wrapping things up today. And we're going to be wrapping it up with talking about the fifth element of the blessing. So there was a meaningful touch, spoken word, adding value, picturing a special future, and then today, an act of commitment. And to do that, I want us to look at a very solid biblical principle that, there's a word I hardly ever use, but a very solid biblical principle that we find in James chapter 2. And I think we have that on the screen. James chapter 2 says, "What good is it, my brothers, if a man claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save him? So suppose a brother or a sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to him, 'Go, I wish you well, keep warm and well fed.'" All right, that's a blessing. Go, I wish you well. Be warm and well fed. That's picturing a special future. Be warm and well fed. But does nothing about his physical needs. What good is it? I'd be underlining, highlighting, circling those words. Does nothing about his physical needs. What good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead. Here's the principle. If you say and don't do, it's dead. If you say and don't do, it's dead. If you speak the blessing and don't do what's within your power to see the blessing come to pass, what good is it? If we say and don't do, it's dead. So right on the top of your insert, is how we've been understanding the blessing. So the blessing is a life-changing gift. It's a gift. We can give it or we can withhold it. It's a life-changing gift of unconditional love and acceptance passed down from one generation to the next. And we might say passed down and around from one generation to the next. Through the blessing, children as well as adults find out what it means to be highly valued and loved. So what if we said and did? What if we made an active commitment to give the blessing? So that's what we want to talk about today. So I want to stipulate here, when we say this, that when we talk about the blessing, we're not just talking about touchy-feely, huggy, saying nice kinds of things. It's much more critical than that. If we're some of you aren't, am I right about this? Some of you aren't huggy-feely people, right? Like, you're not really big on this, and it's like, you know, you just kind of want to back up and shy away from that kind of thing. And so that would be okay. But that's not what this is. This is not a touchy-feely, huggy kind of thing. We're talking about something more real, more substantial than that. We're talking about something in the blessing that, if it's withheld, results in a person dealing with unresolved issues throughout their entire adult life. At bare minimum, having to deal with bitterness and resentment, but maybe dealing with more serious issues that would result in addictions or behaviors like perfectionism or inferiority complexes, making it difficult for them to function in a healthy way as an adult. That's what can happen when the blessing is withheld. You might not be aware of it, but you do know people who are still trying to prove to their father that they will amount to something, even if their father's long been dead. There are people that you know, and you might not even be aware of it, but you know people who are still trying to prove to their mothers that they will measure up, even though their mothers have long been buried. That's what happens when the blessing is withheld. But if the blessing is given, if it's given freely, if it's given abundantly, the blessing, it doesn't determine the person's future. But when we give the blessing, it sets a person free. It puts them on a new trajectory. It sets them free and enables them to be able to discover the abundant life, the amazing life, the adventurous life that God has for them. It sets them free to be able to discover God's purposes for their life, because they're no longer trying to make the purpose of their life to prove to their previous generations who they were and what they were. Now, before we're able to make an active commitment, though, before we're able to get there, we need to clean some things up. Some things that we need to clear out. And there's four of them, and I want you to look at these with me, and I want you to consider them genuinely in your life. Like, which of these messes do you need to clean up before you're ready to make the active commitment in giving the blessing? So the first one is, it might be time for you to forgive. It might be time for you to forgive. Look at what Jesus says in Matthew 6. Matthew 6, Jesus teaches us the Lord's Prayer, and he says, forgive us our sins, even as we forgive those who have sinned against us. Forgive us our debts, even as we forgive our debtors. You know, it might be that in your previous generation, your parents or your grandparents, like, they owed you the blessing but never gave it. Are you going to forgive that debt? Colossians 3:13, Paul says, bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive even as the Lord forgave you. Look, you might have been genuinely wronged by significant people in your life. Maybe a grandparent spoke words that were harmful and hurtful and just the opposite of the blessing in your life. Maybe a father failed to pass the blessing on to you. Maybe it was siblings who treated you in such a way that you felt more of the curse than the blessing. Whomever that significant person is, maybe it's time to forgive. Won't make anything different, except it'll change your own heart. So who is it that you might need to forgive? Who is it that you might need to forgive? Second area we might have to clean up is this. Maybe it's time to exchange blessing for curse. To exchange blessing for curse. So this is like the step beyond forgiveness. Like, I'm not just going to forgive the person who failed to pass the blessing on to me. I'm going to forgive them, and then I'm going to bless them. See, this is what Jesus taught us. Paul underlined it for us. Look at Luke chapter 6. Still in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who have mistreated you. Okay. So, like, we get it. You get it. I did not receive from my parents what I should have received. I did not receive from my grandparents what they might have been able to give to me. But I'm not gonna let that control me, and I'm not gonna let that control what I do for them. So I'm gonna exchange for the curse, and I'm gonna give a blessing. I'm gonna pray for them, I'm gonna bless them. Paul says it in Romans 12, very simply, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. Maybe it's time to make an exchange, to bless where you've been cursed. So who do you need to bless? Not just forgive, but who do you need to bless? Another area we might need to clean up. Maybe it's time to make up for past failures. Maybe it's time to make up for past failures. So maybe you're not the one that needs to forgive. Maybe you're the one that needs to be forgiven. Maybe you're the one who failed to pass the blessing on to your children. Or maybe you're the one that failed to bless your grandchildren. Or maybe you're the one that brought feelings of the curse on your siblings. Okay. You can be forgiven for that, and you can make up for that. I want to say it's not too late to do that. Look what Jesus says. Again, still in the Sermon on the Mount. You know, you can spend your entire life trying to live out the Sermon on the Mount, and you'd be off to a really good start. This is what he says in Matthew 5. Therefore, if you're offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you. Something against you. Like, you were the one that missed it. So your brother has something against you, or your son, or your daughter, or your mother, or your father. Leave your gift there in front of the altar. First, go and be reconciled to your brother, or your father, or your mother, or your sister, or your sibling. First, go and be reconciled. Then come back and offer your gift. You see what Jesus is saying here? There's an urgency to this. Like, don't put this off. Don't procrastinate this. Like, you can always say, well, I'll wait till church is over. We should never do the offering last. We should have done it first. Because then you could just go ahead and take care of it. Don't put it off, says Jesus. Don't wait till something else is over. Just do it. Just go take care of it. We're saying that it's not too late. It will still be meaningful. It will still be significant. I have known of people who waited to hear the blessing come from the mouths of their parents while their mother or father were on their deathbed. They were dying. And even in that moment, it wouldn't have been too late. If even then, the parents would have spoken words of unconditional love and acceptance and words of value. It's not too late. It's not too late. It's not too late. Here's the fourth area we need to make up. Maybe it's time to make a break. Maybe it's time to make a break. Break the cycle and start new. Break the cycle and start new. So here's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though once we regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. So in other words, we're not going to look at people anymore through the world's eyes. We're not going to look at people anymore through the glasses that you've been wearing. Instead, we're going to look at the world through Christ. We're going to look at the world from the position of being in Christ, because that's our new reality. We're in Christ. So from that position, we're saying this. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And all of this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. So, you know, this whole matter of blessing and curse, it repeats itself if it's left untended. So if the blessing has failed to come to you from your parents, it's probably because the blessing didn't come to them from their parents. Which probably means the blessing didn't come to your grandparents from your great-grandparents. It's a cyclical thing, and so here you are, and it's time for you to say, enough of this. This is not going to be the definition of our family. Our family is going to be decided by the blessing, not by the curse. Our family is going to be defined by the blessing and not the withholding of the blessing. I'm going to break this cycle, and I'm going to give the blessing to my spouse, to my wife, to my husband, to my son, to my daughter, to my grandchildren. Maybe it's time to break the cycle. All right. So we clean up that mess. And then we're ready. We can engage the fifth element of the blessing, making an active commitment. So here we are. We've intentionally been trying to offer a blessing to someone with a meaningful touch, with a spoken message, communicating high value, picturing a special future. We've been thinking about that. We've been offering that. We've been trying to get all of that. But if we do all of that, but do nothing that might have been within your power to actually bring that blessing to pass, then your blessing is dead. If you say and don't do, it's dead. If you say and don't do, it's dead. So what do I need to do to make the act of commitment? What do I need to do to offer that element? So I want to suggest three things, and they're really pretty simple. And there's probably more things that could be a part of the act of commitment, but I think this is a pretty good start. So we make an act of commitment, first of all, by studying the person that we want to bless. By studying the person that we want to bless. Studying your children, studying your spouse, or your siblings, or your parents, whoever it is you're going to bless. You've got to know them well. You've got to understand them well so that you can bless them well. Like, make that person the subject of your PhD. You become the world's foremost expert on that person. So I want to be able to say, here's my wife. I want to be able to say, nobody knows my wife better than me. That's what I want to be able to say. Because I'm making a study of my spouse. Before Lisa and I got married, we worked through this book that I think, you remember? Yeah. So we worked through this book. I think it was by Les and Leslie Perrette. And the title of the book was Saving Your Second Marriage Before It Starts, which, so you might guess that they had a book prior to that called Saving Your Marriage Before It Starts. Well, so neither one of us had read Saving Your Marriage Before It Starts. So since we hadn't read that, we ended up having to read this other book, Saving Your Second Marriage Before It Starts. So in both of those books, Les and Leslie Perrette talk about studying your spouse. I loved that concept. Like, I would really pay attention to what makes my spouse tick. Like, how do they think? How do they work? What do they like? What do they not like? Become the foremost expert on that person. So, like, have you ever gotten one of these gifts? Like, somebody gave you a gift, and it was like, does it have the wrong name on it? Like, this gift is for me? Like, you really don't know me very well. Like, you wouldn't have gotten me this gift if you knew me well. So, just for example, if any of you right now are working on, like, giving me a cruise to Alaska, okay, stop right now. I don't want to ever be anywhere that's colder than where I am right now. So if I'm in Titusville, I always want to be warmer, not colder. So this is why I can go to Florida in July. It's warm in January. Where are we at? Titusville. It's warm in Titusville in July. But guess what? It's even warmer in Florida in July. Let's go to Florida. I don't want to go north. Like, I don't want to go to Canada. I don't even want to go to New York State. I don't even want to go to Erie because it's colder when you go north. I want to be warmer, not colder. So if somebody bought me this trip that and I know that I know I'm wildly in the minority. There are many of you that would love to be taking a cruise to Alaska, and I just want to say, like, God bless you. But if you were buying me one, can you just trade it in for a trip to the Caribbean or something like that? That would just signal that you actually know me. I don't like being cold. I like being hot. Know your spouse. Know your children. You can't possibly give them the appropriate blessing from God unless you know them well. So you've got to observe. You've got to study. You've got to listen. You've got to ask questions. So study them. Study them. If you say and don't do, it's dead. Okay, here's the second thing. Second thing is enter into their world. Enter into their world. So a lot of years ago, when I first came here, we had a couple that were in our church named Mark and Carol Chamberlain. Now, some of you might have known Mark and Carol. Mark and Carol owned the hardware store in Pleasantville, and they were a part of our church, and they were a great part of our church. Carol actually was our very first children's pastor. So Mark, for his part, he did hospitality. He was a person at the door, and he was really great at it. But he also was on the youth staff. So he would engage with the middle schoolers and the high schoolers. Now, one of the things that Mark did quite a lot of was he would attend their school functions. Like, if they were on the basketball team, Mark would go to the basketball games. If they were on the football team, Mark would go to the football games. Now, he thought I should be doing that. And he thought the youth pastor should be doing it. I've got my own kids. Mark had kids and grandkids, but none of them were around here, so he was free to do this. Did he like basketball that much that he was doing that? Did he like football that much that he was doing that? Like, no. That wasn't it. He liked these kids that much. And he was invested in these kids enough to want to enter their world. And their world was on the basketball court, or their world was on the football field, or wherever it might have been. He was going to be at their event because he wanted to enter into their world. That's how you make an active commitment to the blessing. You enter the other person's world. So we have been referencing several books, and one of them has been like the foundational book on understanding the blessings by John Trent. So John Trent tells this story, tells this story about when his mother died. When his mother died, he and his two brothers went to the house to clean it up and, you know, just remove things, take things out. And their mother had a reading room. And so they went into their mother's reading room and they saw something they had never seen before. In the reading room, there was a bookshelf that had was lined with just three shelves. And on one shelf, there were all these books on psychology and theology. On another shelf, there were all these books on cancer and genetics and oncology. And on another shelf, there were dozens of magazines Heavy Equipment Digest. That's what it was. Heavy Equipment Digest. And there were how-to books on how to operate heavy equipment. Now, why was this woman interested in psychology and theology and oncology and cancer and genetics and heavy equipment? Well, because she had three sons. And one was a Christian counselor, thus the theology and psychology books. And one was a cancer doctor with a specialty in genetics. And one, as you might guess, was an operator of heavy equipment. And she wanted to enter into their world. She wanted to be able to talk to them about their world. She wanted to be able to understand their world. And so she entered in. If you want to make an active commitment to the blessing, we enter in to their world. We know where they work. We know where they play. We know what they do. We're willing. Okay, so here's where I failed. We're willing to, and wanting to meet their friends. So Bethany already knows this because I said it at commencement. I was afraid of my daughter's friends. That was a huge mistake. You enter into their world by wanting and being willing to meet their friends. That's the way you can make an active commitment. Third way. Invite them into your world. So you enter into their world and then you invite them into your world. So once upon a time, I don't know if they still do this or not, but once upon a time there was this thing we did in our society called Take Your Daughter to Work Day. So did anyone ever do that? Take your daughter to work? So, or maybe you're a daughter and you got taken to work by your dad. So I think Take Your Daughter to Work Day, I think part of what that was about was, because this would have been like back in the 70s and 80s, but I think part of what that was about was trying to expose girls to the workplace so that as they grew into women, they would be comfortable moving into the workplace at greater numbers. I think that's what that might have been about. But there was this added benefit to the whole thing of a daughter getting to see the workplace of her father, because that's how it was always phrased. But you can take father and daughter out of that whole picture, and you can just talk about mothers and fathers. You can just talk about parents taking their children to work, letting the child see where does my parents spend half of their waking hours? Like, where is their workplace? Where do they invite them into your world? Show them what you do. Show them how to do it. So on the video that you watched at the beginning, one of the regrets you'll never have is I wish that planter didn't wobble in the backyard. So that's a regret you'll never have. Because the father took the son into the garage, into his world, into his space. Like, he got a man cave, like invite your child into your man cave. And if you can't, then you probably need to redeem your man cave a little bit. Invite them into your world. Let them see what it's like and show them how. Show them what. So I think during the course of this series, at least I hope this is true, I think I've probably said some good things about my father and how my father passed on blessing to me. So I'm going to share, this is one area where I think he failed, really. So in my basement, growing up, there was a room that was full of fishing tackle, fishing rods, all different kinds of fishing rods, rods for fly fishing, rods for beach fishing, rods for trout fishing, all kinds of reels, all kinds of several fishing tackle boxes, waders, just a whole room full of fishing stuff. You know how many times my dad took me fishing? Zero. I know. See, that's, I got issues, Tim. That's it. So zero. I never got invited into that world. In the garage, my dad had several different sets of golf clubs. Same thing. How many times did my dad take me golfing? Zero. He never invited me into that world. I don't know why. I think I would have loved to have been able to go into that world, but he missed that opportunity in the blessing. C.H. Spurgeon was a renowned British preacher, probably considered, one of the greatest preachers that England ever produced. You don't need to recognize his name at all, but that's who he was. And one particular day, Sage Spurgeon did take his son fishing. So good for him. Bad for him was, at the end of that day, he wrote in his journal, "Spent the day fishing with my son. A wasted day." I know. See, preachers are so far from perfect. His son, meanwhile, wrote in his diary, "Went fishing with my dad today. Best day ever." We make an active commitment to the blessing by inviting people into our world, our children, our grandchildren. Even, what about our spouses? Like, you invite your spouse into your world, or is that taboo for you? So you know what? We got a theological word for this. The theological word for this is incarnation. Incarnation. We take words and we put flesh to it. Because if you say it and don't do it, it's dead. And Jesus was the incarnation. Just rewind in your memory to John 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. See, God didn't just say he loved us. He did love. He showed love. God didn't just say, "Bless you." But he blessed us. He came right into our presence. He became flesh among us to undo the curse of sin and death. We have lived so long under the curse of things that destroy us, things that damage us, things that break us. Right? All of us live with that. All of us live with the damage that's brought about through the curse of sin and death. And when Jesus comes in the flesh and lives among us, when he dies and rises again, he breaks the power of that curse. In the flesh, he breaks the power of that curse so that we can know and experience the blessing that God has for us. That's the incarnation. That's how the incarnation works. And we live as Jesus lived. We live incarnationally. We don't just say words. We do words. Because if you say it and don't do it, it's dead. We don't want to leave the blessing dead. We want the blessing to be alive. So here's what I want to propose to you. Look on the back. I got something that I think is pretty fun that I'd like us to give a try. So take a look at your insert. And on the back of your insert, you'll notice this. There was the first next step. Last week and this week both were work. Oh, I better get my glasses. Work on a written blessing for your children or grandchildren or whomever God leaves you to give the blessing. It doesn't have to be restricted to a generational thing. Work on a written blessing for your children or your grandchildren or whomever God leads you, following the directions below. So the directions are below. Writing a blessing. No, so these aren't my directions. Like, if you read those and you think, oh, pastor's an idiot. Like, so these aren't my directions. All right, these come from the websites that are above there. These come from the Strong Families website, the Blessing website, from John Trent and his crew. Here's just some guidance. Like, if you're just like, I would love to bless my children, I would love to bless my grandchildren, but I'm just not exactly sure what that sounds like. So here's some help with that. So then it gets better. So like there were 26 connection cards that came back last Sunday, people checking that box saying, yeah, like, I want to do that. I want to work on writing a blessing for a significant person in my life. And again, generationally, you can go up or down or sideways. But the fun part would be this. In 2 weeks, we're going to have Father's Day. So remember that the fish fry this year is not on Father's Day. It is not the Father's Day fish fry. It's the community fish fry. And so we're going to be here on Father's Day. We're going to be worshiping together. We're going to be in the sanctuary together for Father's Day. And so my thought is, how cool would this be if there were some of you who worked hard at framing a written blessing for a significant person in your life that God has led you to want to bless. And then in the context of, you ready? In the context of the worship service, because it's Father's Day, you can share that blessing with that person. So like, we would have people just be up front here, and we would become the family. We'd become the witnesses. We'd become the people who, and some of you are thinking, I'm never doing that. So don't put away the thought, all right? Like if, work on the written blessing one way or the other. But I think that if some of us shared that in the context of worship with the church family, with the church body, I think there could be astounding blessings for the body in that. I think some of you could hear some things that would move you in some incredible ways. I think it would be a beautiful thing to be able to witness. So doesn't that sound like fun?
Thank you for listening. We invite you to visit our website at t3church.org to listen to our regular podcast and find out more about all that is T3 Church.